Good morning. I welcome you all here. If you're a guest, please feel welcome. We're happy to have you all in our midst, and I thank you for that singing. It is truly a wonderful time of worship to get you in the right mood of worshiping our Lord and Savior and fill you with joy, as it certainly has that effect, music unto the Lord. This morning I'm going to be continuing, or we will continue in our study of Jeremiah 11, and really looking at when the light of God goes out in a people group. And many of us, throughout the Bible, I should say, there's always this discussion of light and darkness, good and evil. And we see that in our manifest, in our physical world. I remember years ago our family had traveled into the States, and we had gone to Mammoth Cave, and we had gone deep into the ground, into these caves. And of course, it's lit the whole way. It's got lights as you go in. And then just to show you the effect, they turn off the lights for a moment, and you're in complete darkness, can't see your hand in front of you. And it can be eerie, it can be unsettling, maybe even cause you to be a little bit disoriented. And I'm sure for some it would be cause fear if they were to be in that darkness very long. And yet you light just a small little light, and it gives you a sense of comfort, ease, peace, and can light things up very quickly. We all know that darkness is the absence of light. But light is not the absence of darkness. Light exists apart from darkness. For example, you could bring a light into those caves, just as we did. And there's lights that are lit up throughout there, and it can beat back that darkness. But you can't bring a cup of darkness into a room that is full of light, that is completely surrounded by light. You can hide light, you can shadow it, which creates a type of darkness, but you can't really bring darkness in that sense, as you can bring a light in. You can cover light, you can dim light, but you can't cover and dim darkness. Likewise, evil is the absence of good, or more specifically, evil is the absence of God. Really, when something is absent of God, evil will exist. But good is not the absence of evil, for good exists apart from evil. God is good, the Bible says. God is good. And God is self-existing. He existed before evil ever came upon this world, and he still exists now that evil is present. God has always existed. And so, just as we heard this morning, he is never changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His goodness, his light, his love, these things, they stand forever. And they will always exist. But I do not believe evil always existed, nor did darkness always exist. It only became possible to exist when something other than God was created, which happened at the day of creation, as we read in Genesis. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it tells us that there was a beginning to creation. Genesis 1, verse 2, we are introduced to darkness right away. So it tells us that darkness was upon the earth. And then in verses 3, it tells us that God inserted light into his creation, light that came from him. Without God, there would be no physical or spiritual light in creation. God has chosen to beat back darkness through spiritual light, the spiritual light that infuses in the faithful throughout time. You look at before the flood, Noah was one of those lights unto the world. He was described as a just and perfect, upright man. He reflected the character of God in his time. And you can read throughout the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the nation of Israel as a whole at time was a light and was called to be a light unto the Gentiles, a light in this dark world. Today, God has seen fit to use his church, made up of men and women from around this world, to be a light unto the world. Ephesians 2, verse 15, speaking of those that are followers of Christ, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, when God's chosen vessels of light become dimmed, no longer reflect the righteousness of God, and that can happen in our lives, even as Christians, be dulled or jaded in sense by the worries of the world. When we no longer reflect the glory of God or the light of God as we ought to, then darkness quickly fills in. It will fill the void. In the days of Jeremiah, a conspiracy was forming in Judah and Jerusalem, where the men of Judah conspired with darkness. And in our modern language, we often describe a failing and bankrupt business as one that cannot keep the lights on, meaning they do not have the funds to even keep the lights going. Well, on a spiritual sense, Judah could not keep the lights on. They were morally bankrupt and refused to go back to God, who would give them the light and truth. And so they not only themselves plunged into darkness, but I believe the world at that time plunged into darkness. And we read of that in Jeremiah chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 9 to 17 as Judah had broken covenant with God and conspired with darkness. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. And the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all at the time of their trouble. For according to the number of the cities of were their gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she has wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. The men of Judah and Jerusalem conspired with darkness against the Lord God. And the word conspired used here means to bind or knit together for strength. Binding to make strength. Now, on a spiritual sense, for us who bind ourselves to God, we are, of course, knitting ourselves in strength. But here it also speaks of treason, in a sense, that you're going against that which you were once knit to. They were binding themselves to pagan gods, foreign gods, committing idolatry, thinking that these foreign gods would give them protection, would give them strength. They were denying the very Lord that had plucked them from darkness and brought them into light. And the attempting of mixing light and darkness, well, that is impossible. And in fact, it was forbidden by God. From the very beginning of creation, God made a clear distinction between light and darkness. In Genesis 1, verse 4, after darkness existed, after God introduced light into the world, verse 4, God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now remember, this was before God created the sun or moon or any other light in the sky, for that would not occur until the fourth day of creation, in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 19. And so this light that we read of, that was a physical light manifest from God. It was the light of God coming into this world. 1 John 1, verse 5 tells us God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And John 1, verse 9 and 10, Jesus is clearly described as the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus is made available to this world. His light shines upon this world. But this world is also in darkness and cannot reflect the light of God until one is transformed through faith in Jesus. Otherwise, they remain in darkness. Judah, however, attempted to mix the light of God with the darkness of the pagan. They claimed the covenant of God with their lips while offered incense unto other gods with their hands. They did not learn the consequences of their forefathers. How often we don't learn the mistakes of our own past or of our forefathers' past. But rather, they learned to commit the same acts, the same iniquities of their fathers, and therefore broke covenant with God, which they professed with their lips, and so they would suffer the evil that God had determined in that covenant if they broke it. Now, Judah's conspiracy with darkness wasn't a minor infraction. It's not like they were ignorantly dabbling in darkness before they realized their sin. No, this was a very willful, self-aware act. They knew what they were doing. We read here that the number of gods they served were as great as the number of cities in Judah. And we read that the number of altars that they had set up were as great as the number of streets in Jerusalem. So they most likely served dozens upon dozens of other gods and could offer incense at possibly hundreds of different altars. This sounds very similar to many religions today. You take the Hindu religion of today, which worships countless deities and can offer incense at hundreds, probably thousands, maybe even millions of altars around the world. This type of worship stands in stark contrast to that which God desires of man, true worship of God. For God, the God of the Bible, is singular. One deity. And he has designated, at least in the past, he designated one place to offer incense unto him. That was the tabernacle, then the first temple, then the second temple, all in Jerusalem, the temples being in Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah was instructed by God in verse 14, just as he had previously been instructed in chapter 7, verse 16, to not pray for this people. That's how far gone they were. Now, we're instructed to pray for all. We're to pray for one another first and foremost within the body of believers. But we are to pray for our unbelieving family members. We are to pray for our governments, who are often not believers. We are to pray for many. But here they were instructed not to pray for them. This group of people had departed from God. They didn't want to serve the Lord. They had chosen not to be God's people any longer. And from such blatant apostasy, God removed his light from shining on them and allowed them to go essentially their own way. Await that day of judgment when the true light of God will expose their sin, as it will for all who are disobedient. Because once again, light and darkness cannot cohabitate the same space, the same at the same time. Either true light will be present there, and if not, darkness will fill that void. Judah tried desperately to mix light and darkness. They still wanted to serve at the go up to the temple up until it was destroyed. But view their false worship from the perspective of God, as we read in verse 15. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she has wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When you do evil, then you rejoice. They rejoiced in their evil. Judah felt as though they had a form of godliness, but they denied the God thereof. They paid lip service to God, but far from him in their hearts. And I believe Satan absolutely revels in the dilution and pollution of worship reserved for God. He equally revels in the falling away of any of those who are exposed to the truth of God and do not believe upon him, the Lord. Judah became an apostate state, and I imagine Satan was filled with joyful glee at that time, or wicked glee, because not only were they led into darkness, this is God's chosen people, led into darkness, but now they weren't doing what they were called to do, to be a light unto the nations. And so all the nations would be in darkness as well. When God's designated lights fail to shine as they ought to, societies plunge into moral darkness as well. And that is what we see today. In Jesus' teaching in the mountains of Galilee, we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16, familiar verses of speaking of how we are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world, O city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Like Israel of old, followers of Jesus are called to be God's lights, God's ambassadors in this world. We are to reflect the love and truth of God. And notice in verse 15 of Matthew 5, it tells us that we are to shine unto the whole house. We are to be a witness into the darkest corners of this world. But if we cover up that light, if we hide that light, if we allow the world to dim that light, then the world will continue to plunge further into darkness. See, the growing darkness in our world today is directly tied to the apostasy within the church. As the church dims by not trusting in and obeying God, then darkness fills that void. Apostasy in the last days is spoken of numerous times throughout the New Testament, especially in the epistles. In Titus 1, verses 15 and 16, we read of a warning of false teachers, where Paul writes, "Unto the pure are all things pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." It is speaking of those who profess to know God, and so people may put their trust in them, but they are far from God, and they are doing far more damage than the atheist, the one who claims no allegiance to God. In 2 Timothy 3, we likewise read of in the last days, and this is speaking of within the so-called church by name, I would say. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of all that is good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness." So these are people that are claiming to know God, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, it speaks of the events leading up to the Lord's return, where we read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away, that is the word of apostasy, a falling away first, and then the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. There is going to be an increasing darkness in this world. And you think of our Lord Jesus as he hung on that cross in those final 3 hours, it says that darkness came upon the land. And this was midday. Darkness took hold of that day, for the light of the world was about to go out. The future darkness is here already. Not because evil is winning, but because Christians, we are not fulfilling our duty. Christians are giving up. Part of the church has gone apostate, while many within the church are not willing to fulfill their duty called by God. Not having that growing urgency to be a light unto the world. Not endeavoring to grow in faith and hope and love and truth. And yet we know what we've been pulled from, what we've been saved from, and all the more we should be invigorated by God to live lives that are holy unto him. Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 14. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doeth make manifest in light is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Just as God plucked Israel out of the iron furnace of Egypt, planted them in the land of promise, and made them that green olive tree which bore good fruit for a season, so too has he plucked us from darkness. But once Judah fell into apostasy, followed other gods, and refused to repent, God broke those branches off. First we read of Israel, and then of Judah. He pronounced evil upon them because they did not appreciate the good he showed them. And when it says that he pronounced evil upon them, it's not that evil comes from God, but that man does not desire the good that he is bringing. And so when they do not desire that, evil will be in place. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 45. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 to 7, it says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God clearly declares who he is, and that there is none like him. And then he says in verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. The words form and make used here, in that God forms light and makes peace, are things that come from God's essence, who he is. God is light. God is the Prince of Peace. This is coming forth from him. But when it says that he creates, a different Hebrew word is used. That is the word bara. And it certainly means to shape or fashion, as he did in Genesis 1, verse 1. But it also means to create by cutting down or cutting out, meaning it is created by the absence of something else. Darkness is created when light formed by God is cut away. Evil is created when peace made by God is cut down. I'll give you a prime example. We all wearing some form of clothing, shirts. You take a t-shirt, and most t-shirts, I say most because fashion is constantly changing, but most t-shirts have four holes, one for the waist, one for the neck, two for the arms. Now, of course, there's additional holes if you got to pay extra for those ones, but there's fashion. Buttonholes, that's t-shirt. But those four holes, they're made by the absence of something. There is no material there. And so they are formed. If there was no material to begin with, there would be only nothing, a hole. And so there is an absence of something creating something else. And when God is not present, there is certainly something present. It is the absence of goodness. It is the absence of light. It is the absence of love, of truth. And we see that in our world today. But we must be encouraged as well, as we are to shine as a light into this world, of what we are working for. We're not working for salvation. God has provided that through his Son. But we're working for God's glory. And there is coming a day, and I would like to end on this, a day of eternal light, where there is no darkness. Just as there was no darkness found in that tomb on our Lord's resurrection, that light, that tomb was now filled with light. There is a day in which will last forever, where darkness, not even a shadow, will be possible. And have you ever thought about that? To have an eternity where shadows are not even possible. In the eternal state, there will be no shadow because the perfect light of God will surround all, it will infuse all, it will be all about. It won't be like the linear light of a sun or something else where it shines from one focal point and can only bend so much, and so shadows are formed. No, in the eternal state of God, in his glory, there will be only light, and it's the light that comes from him, surrounds all, and I have no doubt that it will be a part of every molecule within his eternal state. And we read of that in Revelation 21, verses 23 to 26. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And verse 27 tells us that no evil will enter, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is what we are living for in our present day, to be in the presence of God's light for all eternity. That Shekinah glory that filled the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. Well, that is the light that is filling the believer. You are a temple unto God, offering sweet incense unto the Lord. You are filled with that light, but there's an eternity ahead where it will be only pure light. And so let us not be as Judah, who walked in darkness. Let us not be counted among those who are going apart from God, who are apostate, but let us be the light that God has fashioned us to be, and so fulfill our created purpose to his glory and his praise until the day he calls us to be with him. May God richly bless and encourage you in your walk of faith. Shall we stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your gift of salvation through your Son, and Lord, that you have not left us comfortless, that you have not left us without a guide, but you have sent your Holy Spirit to indwell the believer, to lead and guide us in all truth, to worship you in spirit and truth, and Lord, to be a light unto this nation, unto this world. And Lord, it is easy to become somewhat spiritually dulled by abuse of the unbelieving, by heartache, by trial, by tribulation. But Lord, may we seek your love, seek your truth in your word, and be sharpened to reflect that light that you have shone upon us. Help us in this day, Lord, to finish our race, however long it may be, to finish it well, and to give you glory and praise. And I pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord, that you would lead and guide each individually, collectively as a body of believers, that you safeguard each one in your love. And we just thank you and praise you and commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.